Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. Well, I'm a little scratchy. Let's take some water. There we go. We're back. Oh, good morning. I'm Lynette and Dr. Samira Umat here along with Dr. Dan Nelson talking about pain. If you've got the pain, we've got the doctor that specializes in that. This is the day to call.
Dr. Payne.
I've been called a lot worse, I don't mind that a bit. That's totally fine.
Dr. Payne Relief is more like it. Here's the number to call if you've got a question. 206-421-5757. We're headed to Centralia, and Deborah is on the line, wants to talk to Dr. Nelson. Hi there, Deborah.
Hello, Deborah. Thanks for taking my call. Hi. Hey, so my husband and I are both actually patients at the Longevity Clinic, but I'm actually calling about my our 21-year-old son. Mm. So my son started having back pain when he was in kindergarten. And so we tried everything, trying to figure out what was going on with him. And eventually they, there were a lot of tests were done. And eventually they saw that his L5 was articulating with the sacrum. And so when he was 16, he had surgery done to remove part of that L5 vertebrae, where it was, grinding on the sacrum right there. And it was really traumatized and, you know, both areas were. So it was pretty obvious there was that grinding going on. But in the meantime, and he did feel better for about a year and a half or two after that. He had less back pain and sometimes no pain. But it never did fix a leg issues that he has. And so we have, like, been on the search for, like I said, he's 21 now. We started that in kindergarten. But so he still has back issues. We've had a couple more MRIs that show that L5 is still grinding on the sacrum. The doctor that did the surgery had told us because he was 16, there was a chance that that bone would grow back, so he put like a waxy substance in there, and it seemed to help for a while. But the issue, and he deals with that, but his biggest issue is his legs. He can't stand or walk for more than a few minutes without having severe leg pain. And he's been under care for neurology since he was 12. They said he had dysautonomia, and the doctor there thinks he has blood pooling in his legs, and that's causing the pain. And, which we love our doctor over at UW and trust him. But it just seems odd to me because my son's feet and all the way halfway up his calf are like ice. Mm-hmm. They're just ice cold. And he has... he's on gabapentin for restless leg syndrome, which keeps him awake at night. And so at this point, we're just, we're desperate. We're actually considering trying to get him disability because he can't walk or sit without pain. And so we just saw it. You guys are kind of like a last resort. We're trying to like help us figure that out.
Right, right. Well, gosh, I have a ton of questions. I'm not sure we could even cover this appropriately. Has he had something called an EMG or nerve conduction study?
He had that done when he was younger, probably at the age of 8.
Yeah.
So he hasn't had one done since then.
My feeling, and of course I'm on the outside looking in and not really knowing all the details, but when somebody has that kind of, it sounds like nerve-related pain, and what it sounds like kind of like a neurogenic
clot. Upper motor neuron, yeah.
Yeah, upper motor neuron possibly, but it could be. It could be some what we call neurogenic claudication, where the nerves are just, when you stand or walk a little bit, they're just not working properly because they're not getting the blood flow to the nerves. He could have claudication. Pardon me?
Would that show up in an MRI?
Would there be suggestions? I'd love to look at the MRI that he's had. Has that been pretty recent?
Well, he had one up there at Pro Ortho 2 years ago.
Okay.
And then...
Who is he seeing up here at Pro Ortho?
Oh, gosh. I don't remember the guy's name. But he didn't seem to think that there was any nerve damage in there.
Okay. So that's MRI. I should be able to look at that. What I would ask is maybe, can we get the engineer to get the
Let's. We'll have our producer, after the phone call, Deborah, we'll have you give your contact information to our producer, and I'll give that right to Dr. Nelson, like your phone number and maybe an email address.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I have so many questions on this because this is not an easy, this is not a 30-second answer. And, we've treated, some fairly complex situations like this. There's so many questions I have that I don't even know where to start. I mean, you mentioned the cold feet because there's also there could be like a vascular claudication syndrome going on, and it's just there's so. And then I'm just curious about. So did he have a fusion surgery where they put metal in his back there? He did.
No, they called it a resection where they just took off a big chunk of that L5. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was done at Olympia Ortho.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I know some of the guys down there. There's some good docs down there. Well, I'll tell you what. I'd love to look at the MRI, even though it's 3 years old. It probably still would be...
Give you some information, maybe.
Definitely would.
Okay.
And then I have some thoughts. I'm sure I would after that. So... let's maybe reconnect.
Very good. I just gave our producer the information. He'll get that from Deborah. So we're going to say goodbye to you on the radio here, Deborah, but hang on the line and our producer will talk with you. We are going to head over to another call right now. Thank you for your call, though, Deborah. We hope that Dr. Nelson is able to get some information much needed for you.
Good luck to you.
Yes, very much so. Let's head over to Seattle now and take a call from Paul. Thank you for waiting, Paul. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Paul. Paul?
There we go. Did we get Paul?
Paul's here.
There we go. There we go. We can hear you now, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call. I've been your patient for more than 4 years, Dr. Nelson. And my question today would be... the role of my low platelets. I know I was going to do a spinal ablation with you, and my platelets were low, and then I received an infusion of platelets, and I could do a very successful outcome of the spinal ablation. I'm very thankful for that. And I just wonder, going back in my history, in 2018 I was diagnosed with low platelets, or I guess it's called thrombocytopenia.
Mm-hmm. Right, yep. Yes.
And that's when I also started to get knee pain and hip pain. Would low platelets contribute to, the start of those types of problems?
Yeah, interesting. So if you have chronic bleeding into the joints because of a thrombocytopenia, so that could certainly contribute. You know, blood in the joint is painful. And if you've heard of I'm just blanking on the royal – what's the royal blood disease that they would
Hemophilia.
Hemophilia. Oh, thank yeah. you. Thank you. I'm going to sign up for that APOE forecast. So I'm going to sign up for that.
If I could interject, Doctor, I've taken a course on YouTube on blood medicine. It's very helpful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so the hemophilia, the problem with hemophilia is those patients unfortunately bleed into their
yeah.
joints, and they become very, you know, joints become so painful that they're, you know, crippled up. And so I can't say that the thrombocytopenia would cause that.
It usually causes bruising.
Bruising,
right?
Yeah, so not so much. I haven't heard of that because but
bruising, but, bleeding from the nose and gums.
Right. Yeah, that's more of a plate thing.
My second question is when I do receive platelets, I do have leukemia. It makes my joints feel better. At least I think it does. I don't know if it's a placebo effect or not, but I know it's not PRP injections. It's into my portal, and it's a big bag of someone else's platelets going into me versus what the PRP would be. I just wonder if that infusion is helping my joints.
Yeah, interesting. I kind of wonder if that would...
It's probably help with the anemia, you know, energy, fatigue. And then when you fix one of those things, you just have the feeling of well-being, which might be contributing to this feeling of less perception of pain, which may not actually be pain. It may be related to the anemia itself and the fatigue caused from the anemia.
So one of the things that there are reports of people doing... stem cell infusions intravenously and also activated platelets intravenously for things like arthritis. Now, that's not mainstream.
Yeah.
I will tell you, in my own practice, when I do stem cell and PRP and we have some left over, I will give the patient IV slow infusion of the remaining stem cells and platelets, because there is some evidence that stem cells actually have a homing ability to go to places of chronic inflammation if given intravenously. So that's not mainstream.
That's new, right?
Yeah, that's relatively new stuff. There are clinics that do that, you know, but in general, musculoskeletal, we're delivering it directly to the source of pain in like an arthritic joint. So, but I could see potentially where maybe maybe they go and help in those areas.
Pain, yeah. Interesting.
I just wonder, I found your program today very illuminating. I just wonder if I could be a candidate for stem cell replacement because of my leukemia, which is CMML. And I know I have certain mutations, and I just wonder if I'm not spreading those mutations with stem cell therapy.
Right. Yeah, no, great question. So is it chronic myelocytic CML?
Chronic
myelomonocytic leukemia.
Myelomonocytic leukemia.
Yeah. It's rare.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to take a quick break here.
Okay. We'll
all right.
Come back to that.
You stay with us, Paul. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine after this.
Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Okay, get ready for it, guys.
Sweet Caroline.
Bum, bum, bum. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Oh, good morning. It is 11:20, well, almost 11:18. And Dr. Umat here in the studio, as well as Dr. Dan Nelson. And we were talking with Paul. Let's continue that conversation. Paul, you want to give us that last question that you had? The doctors were working on your answer there.
Yeah, I just wonder if I'd be a good candidate for stem cell therapy,
right.
Given my leukemia and my mutations. I think it's an SRF2 and a TOT something or other. I have two minor mutations from a bone marrow biopsy.
Right.
And it sounds like listening to your program today, you would get the stem cells from adipose tissue. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, either one, bone marrow or adipose. The problem with the cancer diagnosis is we couldn't really do it without the blessing of your oncologist. And the oncologist might be reluctant. I think the chance of spreading it is probably minimal in a leukemia situation, because that's a bloodborne. It's all through your body anyway. But we really couldn't do that without the okay from your oncologist.
Yeah,
now what I might suggest is PRP. That should be just fine, and PRP is pretty effective.
My own platelets.
So
right.
IV.
Right. Pardon me?
IV PRP or?
No, I would do.
Where?
You're talking about in the joints there,
yes.
Paul? Yeah.
Yes.
So I would do, an option instead of stem cell would be PRP in joint. Now, realizing your platelets are low anyway, and you have to get infusions, but if we could harvest platelets and concentrate them enough to inject into the joints, that's still pretty good. It'll still help.
Okay.
So, but it might take more than one treatment. Okay. I tell patients with PRP injections into a knee joint, for example, that, one treatment might do it, but it could be up to a series of three. So we don't know. So that's an option instead of this, if the stem cell was not an option.
So would you inject multiple? Well, I guess, Paul, which joints hurt?
Yes, my joints do hurt. It goes off and on depending on the weather and much activity I've had.
I thought it was just mostly your knee joints or the joints all over?
All over.
It's mostly my knee joints.
Okay. I mean, we could definitely target your knee joints, but if it's kind of all over, that it's we're kind of limited as how much we, as far as our targets.
I understand.
Yeah,
because he was saying that the platelet infusions help with his pain symptoms.
Right.
So the question was, does that have a direct correlation or not, right?
I think it's an interesting observation. And when we do platelets, we can activate them with your platelets with something called calcium chloride before we inject them.
Okay.
And that's helpful.
Well, that's great. I appreciate both Sarah and you, you've helped me so much over the years.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for those good words. Word of mouth is like gold to us, so we appreciate that.
I recommended you a couple of different places. Just as an aside, my wife just had knee replacement, and it was kind of brutal.
Oh, sorry to hear that. That can be,
that's
tough.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Okay, well, give her our best, would you?
Yeah, she's on the road to recovery, and but that's a very long process, and and it's been pain meds on and on and on.
Yes.
I read an article written by an orthopedic surgeon once, and he was talking about his journey through knee surgery.
Oh.
I forget the nature of the surgery, but he said as a surgeon, he had so many times minimized what the patient goes through. Oh, just get the surgery. It'll be okay. Go to physical therapy, blah, blah, blah. He said it wasn't until he went through it himself that he realized what the patients go through, and it really gave him a new perspective to
right.
the whole procedure.
Oh, I'm sure.
He could really
I'm
understand
sure.
their
and
questions.
Then he also appreciate what goes into the surgical procedure, but how the patient should prepare before, during, and after mm-hmm. for a better outcome. Because if you just, you know, go, okay, come on, next week we'll do this, you're not really helping your patient get a better outcome. So, you know, I talked about this a little earlier, about mental, emotional, physical preparedness for a procedure, and therefore the outcomes are completely different. And then sometimes even then, if something can go wrong, right? It is a procedure there, you're cutting, and anything can happen.
Right,
and sometimes even in the same hand, when you do two different knees, the same person can have completely different outcomes with the same physician in the two different knees.
Absolutely.
And that just is incredible to me. Yeah.
Is he still with us?
All right. And Paul, are you still with us?
Paul, are you still there?
Okay. I think we said goodbye to Paul.
Okay. I was going to tell him, Paul, if you're still listening, that if your wife is still struggling with that pain after a knee replacement, she should give us a call, because we help a lot of folks. Some people it's just such a stormy journey after that knee replacement. And we do have some tools in the toolbox to help with that. So hopefully, Paul, if you're listening, we could –
give
us a call.
Dan Nelson and his team a call at Pro Ortho, and that phone number is 425-823-4000. That's 425-823-4000. You can also go to his website, which is danielnelsonmd.com. All right. Phone lines are flashing. Let's go over to Snohomish. We have Susan waiting there. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. And my husband, Bob, and I, we had the gallery test done a year ago, and we were very pleased with it. It's kind of a peace of mind type of thing. Mm-hmm. Shout out to that. But also a shout out to Dr. Nelson, because my husband's had several joints done with stem cells, and I've had both my knees and my sacroiliac joint. And I had kept thinking that my that it was sciatica that was causing the pain. And when I went in and Sarah, she just immediately said, no, it's your sacroiliac joint.
But, very good.
Sarah's awesome. She's great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was just shocked at how fast she just diagnosed that. But then it took a while because to get in, because it turned out that I had diabetes. So from a blood test, which was required before I could have the stem cells. So that was good. And then I just had the stem cells done in both knees in September. And then I just went in a few weeks ago for the PRP. So I would encourage anybody to do at least go for the knees and the sacroiliac joint, to go with stem cells first before having to do other types of, you know, if it's possible. Because like before, I would walk down the hallway at work and people could hear me coming because they could hear my knees creaking. Now they can hear me coming down the hallway because I'm walking so fast.
Nice.
So one of the things is that I'm looking forward to this summer, with the weather being better, to be able to get out and hike, because hills used to be really bad. And so having it done in September, well, the weather is not so good around here to get out and do the hiking. So I'm looking forward to that. But this is just a shout out to Dr. Nelson and his team. We're really pleased.
Susan,
thank you.
Thank you for calling. And you and Bob have been very supportive. I know you brag about us all the time to your friends. And we really, really appreciate it.
Wow, that's awesome. This would probably be a great time to remind folks about your sacroiliac joint webinar, which is coming up. It's a virtual seminar, which means you can watch it online and on your computer. Dr. Nelson, you're being joined with another doctor, good friend, and also a doctor, Scott Price.
Scott Price, our orthopedic spine surgeon, who I work with very closely.
And you're going to be focusing on that sacroiliac, the joint and dysfunction causes, symptoms. symptoms and what can be done about it.
Yes, and it should be fun. Last time we did this, a couple of years ago, we had a good time, and we had a great response from people that watched that seminar.
And here is the date, Thursday, February 29th. That, yes, that is Leap Year Day. Thursday, February 29th, 6 p.m. And if you'd like more information, simply head over to Dr. Nelson's website.
Well, the website, I think I'm just checking.
You don't connect there, but they can give you
details. I just found out that that is announcement is probably going to be there on Monday or Tuesday of this week, hopefully. But they could always call the office number, 425-823-4000, and we'll tell you how to get on the webinar if you'd like to.
All right. Quick break here, and then back to more phone calls. We will be talking with Mark in just a moment, Linda, and Jan. So our doctors will take a quick break, sip of coffee, and we will return with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Stay right there. Show Staying Alive,
right?
For Leading Edge Medicine.
I'm also smiling because now when they do BLS training, you know, and ACLS.
Yeah. Staying Alive is that?
That's the tempo.
Is it
when you're doing CPR?
You're doing the chest compression. Staying alive.
Yes, that's what they taught us. I just
new
got
dance move now. See,
yeah. We're all doing chest compressions, but that's that's what you do. Yes, I remember
that. You heard that, right?
Yes, just heard that because I just re-upped my
our trainer didn't bring that aid. Music. I'll have to remind her next time.
That's part of it now. You gotta have it.
To tell her that.
Yeah, and Recessa Ann looks quite a bit different than she did years ago. She's just this, you know, like 2 feet long. Just not the whole body this time.
Oh.
And we're doing the chest compressions. So, yeah. Leading Edge Medicine, Lynette and Dr. Dan Nelson in the studio. Dr. Samira Umat, and some phone calls we've got to get to. We're headed to Chelan, where I understand they have some beautiful snow this time of year. Mark, good morning. Welcome, and thank you for tuning in.
Good morning. Yeah, we do have snow on the mountains around, but nothing down by the lake.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful day, though. Sunny
and
blue.
Always.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. How can we help?
Yep. I have an ongoing problem with pain at the base of my thumbs and wrist, right side worse than left, and I'm right-handed, enough so that I can't grasp things to open anything. Mm-hmm. I've had to get assistive devices for that. And I'm wondering whether stem cells in the wrist or have any thoughts.
Well, you want the short answer? The short answer
well,
is
for, with the diagnosis, right?
Well,
this is probably
the
to tenosynovitis.
Right.
It sounds like it, or maybe early onset osteoarthritis, because that's the most common joint that will be affected by it.
Exactly right. Yeah. Dr. Umat, exactly. Right. Yep. So the CMC joint, carpal metacarpal joint there, the base of the thumb, very common joint to get arthritis. I used to think it was I thought it was more common in females, but I see a lot of men that get it too.
I know. And it's, you know, opening jars. I don't know who made those jars.
Oh, I know.
It's
what
so difficult to open them. And I've often wondered, how do people with pain and any kind of limitation in their joints open these
jars?
Especially
and no big, strong husband to do it for you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you got any kind of medicine bottle, they have anti-child or the child prevention.
Lock,
And then it's hard. Right. It's not easy at all. But anyway, Mark, that's CMC arthritis. Maybe you might have some in the what we call the PIP joint, proximal interphalangeal joint of the thumb. Sometimes that goes with it, but. I can speak personally because I've had some of that myself in my left CMC joint. But a stem cell PRP combination is amazing for that.
I've heard you say that before.
Yeah.
And not just over there, but I think even in the smaller joints of the hands.
Smaller joints of the hands and still remember this one gal. She was, I think she was retired military, but she could. She had very severe arthritis to the point where she couldn't even hardly move any of her fingers.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then, and I was like, oh boy, this is a bit of a Hail Mary. That's you know, and I but. When she came back for her PRP booster, she was a big smile, and she was still had full range of motion, but she was dramatically moving all those joints better than she did
before.
You
know, people forget how important these small joints of the hands are, because so many of our activities of daily living are dependent on this. Your ability to dress, to do the buttons, to do the zippers, to cut your food. I mean, so much. Your pincer grasp is so critical. And you have weakness or pain in any of those small joints. My goodness, those functions go quickly.
Yeah, you're, like you said, activities of daily living are just go down the tubes when you can't do this kind of movement.
Right.
Yeah. work as well.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely does. Yeah.
Well, Mark, what else can I tell you?
Anymore.
Have you had it? Did anybody do like a cortisone injection just out of curiosity for you?
No. I've had that in my shoulder before, but not on the hand.
And I'm not sure I'd even recommend it for the hands, because you would get maybe some temporary improvement, but then you know then it would they would come back, and we can't keep doing that, obviously. But the stem cell PRP, even PRP by itself, is worth doing. And you know, the PRP, platelet rich plasma, just comes from the blood. That's the only problem with PRP is I always tell patients, look, it may require more than one treatment, you know. So
sure. Right. Now, you know, how much? Because with one PRP, you can get a lot of one blood draw. You can get a lot of PRP.
Right.
Do you then inject it all into those joints, or do you use it for the?
So with our PRP system, we have a graduated cylinder, and we'll take the most concentrated PRP at the bottom. So those joints are very small volume, so you can't, you know, if we have 12 cc's of PRP, we can't inject them all in there. It's just impossible. So we'll take the most, say, for this situation, we might take 4 out of the 12 that we get.
Okay.
And that is the most concentrated PRP, and that's what we'll inject into the into the joints there.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
We'll have to give a call and make an appointment for the next time I'm going to be over then.
Well, you'll have to make the journey. Come on over, and we'll take good care of you.
Yeah, I'm doing that all the time anyway. So.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you so much for the call, Mark. We are headed back from Chelan, back over to Seattle. Linda has a question. And Linda, this is about your 10-year-old son. Can you tell us what's going on?
It's about me. It is
about you. Okay.
Yes, I've had the condition for about 10 years.
Oh.
Okay.
It's called arachnoiditis. And I'm wondering if there's anything you can do for it, because it's hell.
Yes.
Pain.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. So arachnoiditis, that's in the spinal canal. You have the spinal canal, you have, of course, the spinal cord, and then the nerve roots that come off the spinal cord that go out to the rest of the body.
And the nerve roots are all inflamed.
And nerve roots inflamed. And
arachnoiditis. That's what they told me.
Right. Mm-hmm. So arachnoid, meaning it's the arachnoid layer that, like, yeah.
Like a spider?
Yeah, named
like
after
a spider. Web, they
spider web. So the arachnoid layer is one of the three layers. Dr. Umat, you remember the three layers of the...
of the spider?
I'm putting you on the spot. I'm pimping her right in front of that. No, so I think it's the dura, pia, and arachnoid layer.
Okay.
And so the arachnoid, you get this thing called arachnoiditis, gets inflamed. And so this outer covering of the spinal cord gets inflamed and scar tissue forms, and they call it arachnoiditis. And... it's a devastating condition. I'm so sorry to hear about that. Pardon me?
I had four injections in my lower spine, one in my neck, and an aneurysm clip in my brain. But it came after the four in the lower spine.
Oh, the injections in the spine caused Oh man, so sorry. Usually we think of it, you know, the arachnoiditis coming after. A surgery or an injury or a bad infection, like a meningitis situation. But I'm so sorry to hear you were having injections. And then, so What else has been tried for this condition?
Pain medicines. They sent me to the pain clinic who had said my primary care doctor at the university is to prescribe it, but it's held against the pain medicines.
Yeah.
So I half the time don't get to sleep, or I'm walking the floors. I'm sorry, I'm not ready to cry because it hurts so bad. It's gone on for so many years, and I don't know what to do.
Yes. Linda, has anybody talked about spinal cord stimulation? Has that ever come up? No.
I haven't seen a doctor in my primary care because the pain clinic sent me to there, back to the primary care.
Which pain clinic did you go to?
One at the university.
That's the problem. I don't want to get into that, but that's a problem.
I get the idea. But I don't know what to do because I'm tired of hurting.
So what you need to do is you need to give us a call, okay?
Grab a pen, Linda. We'll give you that call, that phone number in just a minute.
Right. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Is something that can be done to help?
I think there is something. If we can't help you, I can connect you with people who can, because this is not that uncommon a condition, and it's a horrible condition. But we have lots of tools in the toolbox, Linda. I mentioned spinal cord stimulation. That's just one. That's one that comes first and foremost into my mind. But the problem is I can't, without seeing you and looking at you and looking at the images and all that. It's hard to. I can't obviously guarantee it. But you've got to if the UW Pain Clinic saw you and sent you back to your doctor. That's just that's a travesty, in my opinion. So don't get me going on that subject, by the way. So, but you need help, and I guarantee at least we can give you some insight and some good advice, and we might have something that could really make a big difference. So,
sure, it'd be nice to have a few days without pain.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Linda, are you ready for that phone number?
Yes, I am.
Okay, for Dr. Dan Nelson and his team at Pro Ortho, here is that number you can call. It's 425-823-4000.
Thank you so much for
your help.
Appreciate it.
We hope you're able to get some relief, Linda. Thank you for the call. We have two more calls in queue. We will take a quick break and be back with Jan and hopefully with Glenn in just a moment. You're tuned in to Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be back. Pretending to be Mick Jagger. Yes, and I think he's 80 now. Ah. Wow, and he's just up there going. Wow. We're talking Mick Jagger here. It's kind of fun to take you back with the music that we like to play here on Leading Edge Medicine. We've got some callers. Jan calling in from Long Ridge. Hi there, Jan. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a very painful ankle and foot, left foot, and I'm wondering if you do the stem cell for ankles.
Absolutely, we do stem cell for ankles. And that is another area that's been amazing success. And one of those areas where there wasn't a lot of scientific, medical literature published out there, so we kind of did it let's give it a try.
I wonder what is causing her ankle and foot pain, though.
Well, exactly. So, Jan?
I had an MRI, and this has been ongoing for about 3 years.
Okay.
Just problems.
And you had an MRI?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I've been to three different podiatrist and a rheumatologist. The rheumatologist sent me to the podiatrist. The podiatrist the first two wanted to do, I tried orthotics. It just made it worse. I have a very narrow foot and very thin.
Right.
But anyway, the MRI was the tearing of the deltoid ligament.
Right.
A tearing of the anterior tibia fibular, whatever
ligament.
That
wow.
is.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a strong ligament to tear, isn't it?
Pardon me?
No, I was just saying that's a strong ligament to tear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just recently went to another podiatrist, and he was a lot more thorough with kind of explaining some of the what's going on with the ankle and the joint, and it's a combination of severe arthritis, which they think might be rheumatoid related, although my blood tests don't show that. But I also have some deformity in my hands, mm-hmm. and anyway, this MRI also showed some muscle edema, synovitis, and mm-hmm. myositis.
Right. Yep. All that stuff is probably going on there.
And it's been going on for how long, did you say? 3 years?
Three years, yes. Mm-hmm. It started out with falling arches, and then it, what's the other, the painful heel?
Oh, plantar fasciitis, mm-hmm. maybe?
Plantar fasciitis. And it hurts. It locks up when I am on, when I go on inclines or declines.
Yeah.
Any kind of movement that way with my left foot, it locks, and it's so painful. It's almost like something is in between the bone joint.
Right.
It's the sand.
Yeah.
It's the feeling of that I just can't move it.
Yeah. Bottom line, Jan, you got to come in and see us, okay? You may be a candidate for stem cell or PRP, but have you been diagnosed with rheumatoid? You have not been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis,
no.
Did you?
The other thing that I have been diagnosed with, and this was years ago, is sarcoidosis.
Sarcoid. Sarcoid. Okay.
Sarcoidosis.
Yep.
It's
okay.
A lung. Sorry.
Yep.
No,
we're mm-hmm. familiar with that. Mm-hmm. I think I would recommend.
They think that there's a relation between that sarcoidosis can also affect other parts mm-hmm. of your body. And they
right,
think it may be attacking my left ankle.
Right.
And he said that yesterday when I went to the new podiatrist, he said it's like my body is attacking itself.
Right. So like an autoimmune situation. So, Jan, here's what I'd recommend. You can come to our office and get evaluated. We might have some options for you. We also have a huge advantage in that we have Dr. John Hall, who's a foot and ankle specialist. He's not a podiatrist. He's an MD. And I'll just tell you, my bias is I like MD foot and ankle doctors over podiatrists. And I have friends who are podiatrists, but John Hall is outstanding, very well trained, and he sees very complex situations like this. And if we can't help you, I know that he would probably have some options for you. And we work with him all the time, and we refer back and forth. So I think your situation needs to get some better information, basically.
Yeah, the podiatrist that I went to wanted to put my foot into a brace, and he said that the problem with that is you're going to lose your, the movement.
range of motion.
Pretty soon,
I don't know. I'd be very careful about that. You don't want to lose range.
Right. I think you need a second set or a third set of eyes on your situation, Jan, because this your situation sounds more complex than what the average podiatrist sees. Again, nothing against podiatrists, but this is you've got a very challenging situation.
Well, you've got a systemic condition, maybe one or two, and then on top of that, you have regional inflammation going on and restricted range of motion with pain.
Right.
So, yes.
Not that easy.
Not at all.
No.
But I think we could. I think there's things we might be able to help you with and give you some insights. And like I said,
I try to go out with my dog and my husband every morning and walk. The strange thing is, it's in the morning. It's better than as the day goes on. And if I'm lucky, I can walk, you know, maybe about two blocks. But then I've also got a hip in my sacroiliac. I've got an issue with pain there from some severe arthritis in my back. So I think that I do need to come in. Where's your clinic located?
Well, we're in the heart of Kirkland, Totem Lake. Best if you just call the main clinic number there, and it's 425-823-4000.
Yeah, I wrote that down earlier.
Oh, good.
So should I make the appointment with Dr. Paul or with you?
Either one would be fine. You can certainly make it with a whoever can see you sooner is probably the best answer.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Jan. And Glenn, we did not get to your call. Let's have you call first thing on the show next week. And Dr. Mixon will be back. And I know he would like to address you and your questions. This has been Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you for listening today. Always wonderful being able to talk to so many different people about so many different things. And Dr. Dan Nelson, thank you for coming in today.
Always a pleasure.
Yes, and Dr. Umat will be back again next week, right?
That's right.
And Dr. Mixon will probably have a tan. He's in Hawaii. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next time on Leading Edge Medicine.